This episode of Rock Under Fire is being brought to you by Schaefer Beer. Grab yourself a Schaefer. Aha, sitting pretty, all together in a Schaefer city.
What's going on out there, everybody? This is Rock Under Fire.
Gurgle, gurgle.
It's Dick Nixon hanging out with these fellas. You know who they are by now. It's Mike and Pat. Say hi, boys.
Hi, boys.
We're here to talk about several topics tonight, the main one being the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The always controversial Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
As Mike DiRico puts it, the Rock and Roll Hall of Lame.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Well, there must be a reason for it.
We're going to dig in there and find out tonight. Stick's got his surgical tools sitting here on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I'm ready to bust this corpse open and...
did you bring your 8-foot...
Do a little post-mortem.
Your 8-foot drill bit.
For now, I did not bring my 8-foot drill bit. That's funny. We're doing some work on my house, and we were supposed to record this episode last night, and I got into some trouble running. We were doing some electrical work, and one of the bits I had to buy, it was like 4.5 feet, 5 feet long or something.
Yeah, so we decided to postpone the show one night so that Pat could join us.
And I am appreciative of that.
And you're lucky here, because I was going to tell the listening audience you had elephantitis of the nuts and that you had to walk around with a wheelbarrow. So
that might do me good with the ladies.
Yeah, you know, a lot of ladies are into freaky shit.
Yeah, man.
That's for sure, you know.
These millennials are talking out there.
But anything to say before the topic at hand? What's going on?
I don't have a what's going on.
I do have a what's going on, man. My girlfriend turned me on to this article in the Wall Street Journal, actually, from only a couple days ago, man, called Twilight of the Rock Gods. Like something I've seen. Well, you know, the Wall Street Journal is for industry types, you know.
Yeah.
So they're not interested in the art so much as the future of the business and the money aspect. But it reinforces what we always say on the show, what you always say, Mike. Apparently, 5 of the top 10 grossing artists last year were over 50.
Wow. Yeah.
Springsteen, Guns N' Roses, McCartney, Garth Brooks, and the Stones were all in the top 10 highest grossing acts. Boss was the cash king with $268 million. However, the Stones made the most per show, generating $91 billion in only 14 shows, because apparently the crowd size of the Stones, 74,000. Beyonce was on that list too, but she only averaged 49,000.
You two didn't make that list, huh?
No.
Wow. Well,
you two didn't.
Oh, they haven't toured in a little bit though either. So.
Yeah, maybe
their tour hasn't really.
Yeah, it hasn't kicked off
this
yet.
This time next year, they'll be talking their numbers.
But the article says that industry insiders are worried about the future of the business. They feel that today's stars will never be as big.
There is no future
as the ones
business,
we talk
man.
About.
I can't think of one that are going to make those kind of numbers.
Yeah.
I can't. I really can't.
You know, when we look at the concert, you know, like the summer concerts coming up, you know, it's always artists over 50. It's always these package tours. It's always, what's it going to be in 20 years? 10 years from now when everybody's gone?
It's going to be little festivals.
Where are they going to play?
Yep, they're going to continue to group Poison, Def Leppard, Tesla, and then they'll throw like Warrant in there.
When the biggest acts today can't even do arenas, when the so-called big rock groups are out there and they're proudly playing, you know, Webster Hall. You know, is Webster Hall even still a thing? Is that even a place?
Yeah, Webster Hall's still a thing.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, Webster Hall and, you know, fuck arena rock, you know, all that's like it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing when people are not,
you know,
interested enough.
That,
there's not enough people interested enough to go out and see your band that you have to play Webster Hall.
And that sucks because there's nothing like gearing up and going to the Giant Stadium and going to see a show in the summer in August. I mean, Bruce last year, how great was that? You know what I mean? The parking lot was full of people.
Well,
you're like,
fantastic.
I think the biggest complaint about, you know, stadiums, and I'm not a fan of stadium shows. I mean, other than the whole, you know, the good time summer thing and tailgating and the whole thing, that's great.
Right.
But the sound sucks in a stadium. You're so cut off from the whole immediacy of an event like a rock concert.
That's the great thing. And you like the intimacy.
The intimacy
more.
Of a small venue. That's not my argument. You know, it's great to be able to go see, you know, hey, if you could go see the Stones in a club and they're right there. That's that I think is the optimum environment for a rock concert.
Oh, hell yeah.
But the fact that these are like really the only places that some of these bands can sell tickets. What's it going to be 10 years from now? 20 years from now?
I don't even know if it's going to be 10. It might be just 5 years from now.
You can't find five acts to come out of the last 20 years that could fill up a stadium or even an arena, man.
That's a good question. Who's going to fill up a stadium that's come out in the last 20 years? Wow. Yeah. In the last 20 years, who? 20 years from now, will Bruno Mars and Taylor Swift be able to pack stadiums? I doubt it.
And who? And what are they going to be doing? Is it going to be like PNC Art Center for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Are the biggest acts going to play amphitheaters and package tours?
PNC in Holmdel, New Jersey, for those fans of ours listening on the West Coast or in the Midwest.
You know, I don't really have a what's going on, but I Mike and I were talking. You know, Friday night we ran into each other out. There's an open mic night that they host in Metuchen, and I'm really going to start hitting this thing. I was sick. I had some health issues. I couldn't go. I keep getting the invite from this woman who's there all the time.
The place is
Franklin Street School or something like that.
Open mic? Oh, it's at a school?
Yeah, it's like
singing karaoke. Or
No. It's an old schoolhouse. And she's heavily involved in it, and I could never make it. And I was going to try like hell Saturday, but it was my mother's birthday. And I just keep missing it, but I'm going to really start digging into. I really want to crack open the local music scene again, and see what the hell is going on around here locally. Maybe even interview somebody on my phone, and we'll get it to MP3 and bring it into the show or something. I need to find new music. I really need to find new music.
Yeah,
and if it's local, it's local. So be it. It's still music.
You want to hear new music in both senses of the word, like new as in recently come out, new.
Yeah. And, you know, and another a band I was talking about with Mike, they're not necessarily new. They've been out for a few years, but I've been listening to this band Ghost, and they're really good. They got this gimmick. You know, you kind of got to look past their gimmick. They're dressed like, he looks like a...
They look like they came out of Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, he looks like a satanic pope, to be honest with you. And he's got these four ghouls. They're just nameless ghouls with masks on. You don't even know what they look like, and they kind of interchange them around and everything.
They look like the dudes from the orgy scene.
It's pretty creepy, man.
That's pretty awesome. I can appreciate it.
They're very creepy looking. Yeah. But their music is like it's like pop metal almost. It's really Mike said it best. It's like a cross between Metallica and Duran Duran. Is that what you said?
It reminded me of King Diamond.
King Diamond meets Duran Duran
with a touch of Eyes Wide Shut. Now it was just one or two songs.
Right. Yeah. And you know, somebody tried to turn me on to him a couple years ago, and I was like, nah, I don't. That's not my cup of tea. I'm not into that anymore. The shock factor thing. So. For whatever reason, they popped up in one of my news feeds. There was an article about him on a rock and roll website. I think it's like blabbermouth.net or something. So I decided to read the article. And I was like, you know, I'm going to give these guys a crack again. And sure enough, they got their hooks in me right now.
Yeah, good, man.
And they're not brand new, but they're new enough to where I'm like, okay.
Don't let anybody call us dinosaurs. There you go, people. Ghost.
My what's going on is 40 years ago this week, the release of the first Clash album.
40 years.
The first Clash album, man.
That's an excellent album, man. From 1977. It's got Police and Thieves on it. The Junior Marvin cover. What else?
Probably one of the last bands to whose lyrics kind of reflected their times, man. Their politicized lyrics. And as much as I hate the hybrid acts, you know, the ones that cross, my biggest one is rock and rap. It's like that. It's like that old Reese's commercial. You know, your peanut butter is on. Your chocolate fell in my peanut butter.
Your rap is in my rock.
But as much as I say, well, this should not mix with, you know, it's the Clash were all about it. They started, you know, as what we call punk. Our textbook definition of punk.
Yeah.
Then they made their third album, London Calling, and they were crossing, you know, roots rock and rockabilly and reggae. And they made this sprawling 2-record set. London, it was their masterpiece, just one of the great masterpieces of the 70s.
Gotta have it.
Yeah, gotta have it. It's a must add to everybody's collection.
That's another book I want to read, the Joe Strummer book, man. I never read that one either.
And then they followed it. They followed it with Sandinista, man. A three album set. You follow a double album with a triple album. And they went even further, and you know, something called dubstep. Now you got dubstep, but you know, you had post punk and disco and funk and even some rap.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm a fucking hypocrite because I think the Clash are okay when they do it.
Didn't get to that stuff until later
Limp
in their
Bizkit
career.
Can't
though.
Do it.
The earlier Clash, I mean, the good Clash albums had elements of. Elements of reggae, you know, elements of funk, no doubt about it.
That's ska sound, right? Is that what they were calling it?
Yeah.
But they did it tastefully. Yeah, I like a lot of punk bands, but they're the gold standard, man. My book, absolutely, man. And they were fucking real, man. I mean, they were dirt poor, man. Joe Strummer was eating the furniture. You know, they were starving in the early days, man.
Cold SpaghettiOs out of a can and shit like
just
that.
Just like the Beatles, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were street toughs all the way.
And then by the time of Combat Rock, they got, you know, entered MTV, the MTV era, and they were opening for The Who at Shea Stadium.
Clash meant nothing to me until I saw Rock the Casbah on MTV in 82 or whatever it was,
But then, the rise of the Clash, man, as quickly as that happened, it all fell apart, it all went to shit. After, you know, London Calling and Sandinista, two albums of monstrous ambition, and some might say total overindulgence in the case of Sandinista. Maybe. Have you ever tried to listen to it from beginning to end?
I don't have Sandinista.
Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, you could get one great album out of that.
Right.
You could get, like, if they took all of the great stuff off of Sandinista and made it into one album, you'd have, like, the most. You know,
so you have to burn me the ultimate Sandinista mix on a disc for me. That's your homework. So what the segue? What class? What year was the Clash inducted into the Hall? Do we know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 2002.
Yeah.
I think maybe 2002 or 2000. I know the Ramones went in
2003, brother.
Okay,
along with AC/DC. That's a good year. AC/DC, Clash, Elvis Costello, The Police.
You know, the Rock
Brothers.
And Roll Hall of Fame, they fucked it up. You know, the Ramones 1 year after Joey dies, and the Clash, you know, 1 year after Joe Strummer dies.
Yeah.
Such bullshit.
Just bullshit.
But did either of you guys see any of the footage from the recent, this year's ceremony?
I have not seen footage yet, no.
So are you aware of anybody aware of what took place or anything like that?
Some of what transpired, yeah. I didn't watch the footage, but
Pearl Jam
articles.
Well, Neil Young got sick. David Letterman did the induction for Pearl Jam.
Oh, really?
And what's up with Neil Young being sick? What's up with that? Hope that's not more than meets the eye.
Yeah.
Well, Neil Young was the obvious choice for Pearl Jam.
Oh, absolutely.
I couldn't think of anybody else doing
Pearl
Jam.
No, they've worked together.
Jam
they love each other. They've, you know, they.
But Letterman, a lot of people were questioning Letterman. The selection of Letterman, but I mean, he really championed Pearl Jam from day one.
Oh, absolutely.
He loved Pearl Jam.
Foo Fighters as well.
Foo Fighters too.
He
would probably do the Foo Fighters induction too.
He's a big, you know, you take a look at Letterman and you're like, you don't feel like he is as rock a guy as he is. That dude loves fucking rock and roll. Mm.
And Grohl is going in about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
you know?
On their own, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess they have to hit 25 years or something like that.
Grohl will go in,
close.
It's 4 years from now.
Yep, that sounds about right. Well, I had no idea that Letterman did it, that Letterman inducted them.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Now I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I mean, that out of all the groups that got inducted this year, Pearl Jam would be the one that I was like, okay, I'm cool with them.
Yeah.
I was pretty cool. You know, Journey was kind of a good story to see the way that all transpired, and Steve Perry at least showed up. He didn't play with them.
Steve Perry seemed to be the big story of the night.
Yeah, that I mean, it was showing up and you know, really thanking the fans and everything.
So and even a shout out to the new singer.
Yeah,
the new
he
guy.
Really did.
I've
yeah.
been there about 10 years. Almost.
And he said, I mean, Arnell said this guy's like my hero. I just couldn't wait to meet him.
Yeah,
that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, Mike, why don't you read off the list of this year's graduates before we throw our caps in the air? I will hum Pomp and Circumstance.
Well, this year was... this year we have Pearl Jam and Journey, as we know. ELO. Jeff Lynne. Joan Baez. Tupac Shakur. And Nile Rodgers.
What an interesting
congratulations,
selection.
Graduates.
I want to
blah,
start
blah, blah.
By saying this. I've said this in an earlier episode. You give me a Rap Hall of Fame, I'm going to visit it. I'm you know me, you guys both know me. I am a hip hop rap artist.
Mm-hmm.
Love it, or fan, I should say, not artist. Love, love, love it. You give me a hip hop Hall of Fame, I'm there.
Yeah.
Do not tell me that the Run DMCs, the Tupac Shakurs, the Public Enemies, even, don't tell me that they belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I completely agree. And you know what I want? You know what I was wondering about in preparation for the show? Like, Rap has nothing to do with rock. I don't know what these guys are doing in there. No disrespect. But why does the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, looking at the list of artists that are not in, completely ignore heavy metal, but embrace rap, you
yes.
know? Like, they pretend like heavy metal is not legit or something. Because none of the major metal artists, except for Metallica maybe, are in.
And, you know, even I give a pass to the R&B artists and, like, the Motown sound.
Oh, yeah.
Because that kind of helped pave the way for modern rock and roll. But even then, I still had a slight, like, well, maybe this belongs somewhere else. To me, rock and roll, you know, like that mm-hmm. Elvis Presley thing kind of started, or Chuck Berry started kind of kicking that thing into a different direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, they borrowed from a lot of that different, you know, all that different stuff. I would rather see all those blues artists in there than Tupac Shakur. You know,
hell
the Muddy
yeah.
Waters of the world, which are probably there. But
yes, I forgot to mention yes.
Yeah.
No. But I wonder if is it a racial thing? I was wondering. Is it possible that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame without rap artists can start to become too white?
I hope something
that the directors have? These guys turn over every stone. They think of everything. You know, like. Maybe that idea is back there somewhere.
That's a shame, because it shouldn't be that.
No, PC, brother.
Maybe they just realize that they have to, at some point, that they have to go dipping into the metal acts. It's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame becomes a problem once it got to the 70s. If you think about all of the obvious choices, the first 10 to 15 years of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, you got to get the founding fathers. So there was no problem from like 1986 through like 1996. It was always like the 50s and into the 60s. And we got into the counterculture groups. Once we get into the 70s and all of the 50s and 60s artists are taken care of, you know, give or take a few.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get into the corporate rock stuff and all of the stuff that Rolling Stone magazine just kind of shunned and it kind of looked down on. And it's kind of like, oh, we got it.
Boston's and the Emerson, Lake and Palmer's,
you know, Boston
of the world.
Is still out there. You know, eventually they're going to have to answer for Boston. You know, they had to answer for Kiss all these years.
Fucking yeah. Deep Purple. Yeah.
They had to answer for Deep Purple.
I mean, yeah. Really? Richie Blackmore is one of the most influential guitar players in history, at least in the top 10.
Yeah, so when you get to the 80s, what is in the 80s?
Iron Maiden's got
What represented hard rock in the 80s was metal.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you had R.E.M. and U2, and you know it was alternative before alternative was.
Bands that are already in.
When alternative was actually still alternative,
right.
And it wasn't mainstream.
Right.
And those bands are in. You know, R.E.M., one of my top three favorite bands ever. Should be there, but they got there right on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost as soon as they were eligible, they got in on their first or second year of eligibility.
Mm-hmm. Rolling Stone is a boner for R.E.M.
Yeah, but at some point,
darlings too. Yeah. Right? Yeah,
it's like, at what point do they go back and clean up and say, okay, let's get Judas Priest, let's go back to the '70s, let's get the Cars.
I'm gonna make my case for Iron Maiden.
Maiden too. I've gone. Maiden and Priest are synonymous, man. Bookends. Put them both in together. Dio too.
There's no
Ozzy is a solo artist.
How about Slayer? Fucking Slayer puts out record after record after record of powerhouse.
There you go.
Unlike anybody else, and legions of bands that tried to be them.
Yup.
Yeah.
And a smaller group, Faith No More. They were fucking a really good, solid act.
Yeah,
that probably should be on the cut. I mean, they were. I'm not saying that they're anywhere near REM, but they were one of those bands that, like, the critics just loved them. I enjoyed them, and that's a band that I would consider being in there.
Well, you know what? It's saying that they're not near REM. To somebody, they are REM.
Yeah.
You know, they are what they are, and they were very good at what they did. There's a reason.
Yeah.
That they're revered the way they are to their fan base.
It's fucking mind blowing.
Yeah, Slayer.
Good, Slayer. Yeah.
I could never stand Slayer, bro. I can't. It's like it's just so grating on my ears, man. But they need to be there. They need to be there. And they need to start acknowledging these bands if they're going to acknowledge rap and hip hop.
Without a doubt. I mean, those are the bands that should be there before rap and hip hop. It's a fucking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm not going to go to the Hip Hop Hall of Fame to see fucking Slayer inducted there. You know what I mean?
That puts it in perspective, too.
It's
you know?
And it, like you said, maybe it is. There's undertones of a racial issue there with these people who are making these fucking decisions. To me, they're just boneheads. And I think that, in my opinion, they should not have a yearly induction. This thing should stretch out maybe every 5 years, sprinkle in a few more bands. Every year, now they're watering down a system that's already fucked.
Yeah,
and they're not even giving accolades to bands that should have it.
I don't know about a racial connection to it.
I hope it's not.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's that deep. I just think, you know, because I mean, look, the whole foundation of rock and roll is black.
Absolutely,
Chuck Berry, Little Richard. I mean, look, scratch the surface.
No,
go back
denying
to the blues, man. Go back to Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson, yes.
You know, and Muddy
true.
Waters.
There's no shortage of black people in the hall.
Bo Diddley, rock is black music. Rock came out of black music.
It started, you know, there.
And there's less of a connection. I see less of a connection between rap and the blues than rock and the blues.
Yeah, rap was more just
there's
a street
much
thing.
Much more. It really was.
Yeah, it was. A product of their of the rap artists' environments.
Right. So if you're going to connect that to any sort of credible level, you know, as far as credibility goes, and that's why they get into the Hall of Fame. Okay, so be it.
The sampling comes in. I mean, they're sampling a lot of older, Parliament Funkadelic stuff, and Billy Squier is like one of the most sampled artists in hip hop,
isn't he?
There's that aspect of it. I would love to see a Hip Hop Hall of Fame. It would be, you know, it would be totally unique because it's a style.
You know what?
That
totally,
was just
bro.
Created. I mean, it just came up out of nowhere, and you're
put
like,
it,
whoa.
Put it right in the Bronx or Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah. Fucking yeah, exactly. Yeah. New York has to house that.
But yeah, you won't have Slayer there.
What about the argument I've heard? And again, I don't want to go pull quotes. You know, if I really wanted to prepare for the show, I'd go and get quotes. But there's this. I'm just paraphrasing because it's been said a million times. What if rock and roll? What if we just look at rock the way we have used the word pop up until now? What if it's just all rock and roll? Does that fly? It's like it's all pop rock. I mean, pop rock. It's all pop music. Okay, it's all pop music. Pop means, you know, popular, right? Popular music. What if we accept that it's all rock? That there's just different genres of rock.
You know, I've said before on this show, my rock and roll umbrella is very wide, but it doesn't include rap.
Yeah,
it's a different, totally different genre.
I'm just
the Taylor
playing
Swift
devil.
Of the world are not they wouldn't fall under.
I'm
rock
just being
umbrella
devil's advocate here for a second.
Right? No, it's a great. Yeah. A great question. I can't see the Taylor Swifts of the world falling under that umbrella, much like Stick just said about rap falling under that umbrella. I don't. They're
and Taylor
two
Swift will
things.
Probably get in.
Yeah, exactly.
15 years from now,
we can sit here and complain all we want about the artists that are not in. That will invariably get in the next 20 years. You know, but you got to see it from the museum director's point of view. A little bit of controversy is good. You know, they want us to be talking. You know, they want us to have something to wait for. I mean, you're dealing with a finite number of geniuses here. I think they realize that, and they got to milk this thing for all it's worth into perpetuity, man.
Yeah.
They need this shit to go on.
They need people to go to their museum.
Yeah, they need people to argue. They need artists that they're waiting on until they go to get these guys in already. There's something for us to talk about, you know? It's good for them. They're not going to put everybody in right away. They got to just milk it a little bit.
The museum itself was happy when Kiss got in. It was like, we need Kiss.
That caused so much. You know, they were in the news. Yeah. They were fighting amongst themselves. This is exactly what we wanted.
And they want this every year. You know, it's an annual thing, like a graduation.
And this year it was Journey.
Or a musical Super Bowl, something like that. You know, it's something they're going to do every year.
Let's have a musical battle royal. Fight it out to get in.
Put them all in a cage.
If we're going to go after rap and wonder why Tupac is in, what about Joan Baez? Well, Joan Baez is connected to Bob Dylan. Does that make it?
See,
okay?
She's borderline for me.
All right. Well, folk meet this folk
we
music.
Know she's legendary.
Absolutely.
We know she's vital in terms of, you know, the folk.
Yeah. You know, you ain't going to catch me listening to her, but yeah.
The folk revival of the early 60s. She was
excessive vibrato girl. Too much vibrato.
The whole 60s and chill the Woodstock thing. I mean, you know.
Can't believe that the only folk music I dig is like Dylan, man. I don't like any of that shit other than him, dude. And even some of his shit, I don't like. Some of that spoken word, you know, folk singer. Like those kind of like Bob Dylan's Dream. Songs like that I hate. Even some of his shit I hate. The folk stuff. I don't like folk music.
Very borderline for me.
I'll take Joni Mitchell any day over Joan Baez. But does she belong in as a folk artist? Why am I saying that folk has more in kin with rock and roll than rap?
At this point, it doesn't. I'm like, who cares? Yeah, put her in there. If we're putting rap people in there, and we're putting, you know, no disrespect to Madonna, but if Madonna gets in before. Like I said, Judas Priest is still out there.
It's okay to disrespect Madonna. You wouldn't be the only one.
All right, fuck you, Madonna. Fucking bitch.
Actually, so I was gonna painstakingly go through like the notes online, see who was in, then go through my records to see who they omitted. But apparently, Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam wore a T-shirt. But all the artists that are not in that should be.
Oh. No shit. Yeah. Really?
So I just looked at the picture of his T-shirt instead of writing, like, holy shit. Let me go down the line for a minute, boys.
And these are all printed on his T-shirt.
All on his T-shirt.
Oh, that's fucking great. I really can't wait. April 26th, I think the HBO is going to air this or something like that.
Some of these are freaking egregious, man. Buzzcocks, The Cars, Fela Kuti, Husker Du, Iron Maiden, The New York Dolls aren't in.
What?
Duran Duran, King Crimson, The Misfits, Nine Inch Nails, Brian Eno's not in.
Jesus.
Can, Slayer, Gang of Four, Jane's Addiction, Joe Jackson, Nick Cave, Nina Simone, The Monkees, Motorhead. Most egregious of all, T-Rex isn't in.
Jesus Christ.
Is it possible that T-Rex isn't in? Thin Lizzy, Dead Kennedys, Bauhaus, Black Crows, Dio, New Order, Sonic Youth, Harry Nilsson, Roxy Music, Judas Priest. Steppenwolf was on his shirt. Steppenwolf's not in. The Damned, The Replacements are not in. The Pixies, Billy Idol, Bjork, hell yeah, Blue Oyster Cult, Kraftwerk has to be in. The Cure, Bad Company, and also on his shirt, and they better get in before I die, Flaming Fucking Lips.
Okay,
can you believe
Kraftwerk? Kraftwerk,
Bad Company.
Influenced artists who played rock but kind of veered off into other territory. Obviously, you know, the first person that comes to mind mainstream wise is David Bowie, right?
But yeah,
Kraftwerk rock.
T-Rex.
Kraftwerk is rock.
It's rock.
It's rock.
Krautrock.
Yep.
It's Krautrock. Okay.
Bjork, I could do with that,
too. I don't
know,
man. I hear Kraftwerk, man. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't sound like Chuck Berry to me.
There's
nothing that Bjork's doing that makes me think Chuck Berry either.
No, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here, man. Yeah. You know, and I'm just...
That shit's mind-boggling.
Defending the rap here.
Dude, for what those guys were doing.
Some interesting choices there. Black Crowes was an interesting one. As good as they were in the height of their career, is that, are they a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band? I mean, that's a, you know, there's a slipper. There's some that are just obvious on that list. Yeah. There's obvious ones. How can, you know, you look these bands away? You know, Black Crowes kind of, and I love the Black Crowes. I have all the, you know, all the records. Yeah. It's one of those bands that I'm like, well, are they or aren't they? I
feel they're borderline too.
Okay. So you do see where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
You know, you give me Bad Company. Bad Company to me is a no-brainer. How are they not in? Iron Maiden, obviously. Or even the bands that are in. Like, if you said, oh, the Rolling Stones aren't in, that's just a blatant abuse of power.
Yeah.
But the Crowes, the Black Crowes, it's a borderline thing for me.
Yeah, a couple of these. Yeah, T-Rex and the Cars really stick out like sore thumbs.
Yeah,
like,
you know, I read something online about the Cars not being in, and I knew that because I know that they were on your list of top 40 bands.
New York Dolls, too.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge Cars fan. I'm familiar, obviously, with their work. But I was like, wow, that's really odd because they were, I mean, they paved the way for some really, you know, for a lot of other groups to come after them. They were
so
unique.
Many smash hits, and the industry wanted... Devo will tell you how badly the record label wanted Devo to be the Cars.
Devo should be on that list because they're not in.
Are they not in?
No, they're not. I read that today.
Really?
Unless they got in.
Them, dude. No, there's more on his shirt than just these, dude. So maybe Devo's not in. Fuck. So, all right. So, it's nothing to complain about. We got a lot to look forward to and a lot to debate in the future. I think that's the way they want it, you know? Give us something to hang on to, something to twat about.
That's pretty cool.
They know what they're doing.
Pretty cool about Jeff Ament wearing that. What does anybody know what songs Pearl Jam did?
Pearl Jam did Given to Fly, Alive, and Better Man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good choices. Alive, I mean, that's the one that broke them. I would like to have heard them do that. So
it would have been great to see Neil Young. The one I was happy to see get in was Nile Rodgers. Talk about.
Yeah.
This guy is a disco legend. He's most associated with disco, but he's got rock and roll credibility.
The guy just puts it down. Basically,
as far as anybody associated with disco, he's probably the most revered and respected figure.
He did Young American
Chic, right? Was he in Chic?
Yep.
Yeah, that was him. And
Freak Out.
I mean, he did.
And recently,
as a musician and producer, he was he's been involved with so many people.
Lucky, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Recently, man. I love that song.
What's that?
Did he produce that or play on it?
Up All Night to Get Lucky, big smash hit.
Pharrell
was that Daft Punk?
Daft Punk. Yeah.
Was it Pharrell too? Yeah.
Pharrell
yeah.
singing on it with them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's why I didn't know if Pharrell produced it or Niall produced it.
They were on the Grammys together, man, getting that award.
Turns out he's a huge rock fan. I mean, rock was his primary music. He thanked, he acknowledged Kiss and Journey as major influences. There's like subliminal shit going on here with Kiss.
Hey, man, I mean, that's our childhood, man. And it's a shame seeing that band. Like I said in a past episode, seeing those guys play at that fucking Download Festival and how bad they were. I was just like, this is just...
Kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just ripped my fucking heart out of my chest, man. It really did. I would rather go see Kiss for the fucking Tears Are Falling fucking era playing live than see them now.
That's a lot.
Fucking hard.
Do a shot.
That's difficult. That is very difficult.
Yeah.
And we've all talked about that era of Kiss where they had more makeup on then than they did in the 70s.
What about ELO? Do we like... I mean, I love ELO.
Yeah, that's my
favorite. ELO is...
I'm not a big fan of this graduating class, dude. When I'm sitting here saying ELO is my favorite, that's not saying much.
I think this was a good year.
This was a good year.
I don't think it was a good year, but no, Pearl Jam for me is Pearl Jam.
You know what? ELO had to get in. I think I was never a fan of Yes, but Yes had to get in.
Yeah.
I was happy to see Nile Rodgers. You know, you kind of feel bad for Journey having sat around for being eligible for 20 years. We got Steve Perry out of hiding, so that happened. Pearl Jam, probably the biggest rock band of the last 25 years. Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
You get in on your first year of eligibility. I thought it was a great year.
This is not their first year of eligibility, was it?
Yeah.
Pearl Jam's
was? Yeah. 1991 now, yeah.
Wow.
But wait a minute, Nirvana's already in.
Nirvana got in because their first album came out in 89.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has to be 25 years from your first album.
Soundgarden should be in this conversation too because they're not in.
I think they're maybe next year. Probably. I think Soundgarden will be in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get a first ballot. But
no,
that's impressive for Pearl.
Because when you read a list like what Stick just did, when you read a list like that, and you know that Sonic Youth is still out there,
sure.
Without Sonic Youth,
I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry, but
without Sonic Youth,
there's no Pearl Jam.
That's my MO. I cut people off.
No. And I'm surprised because hip people like the editors at Rolling Stone like that kind of shit. Same thing with Replacements, man. Replacements are cool, man. How come they're not in?
And Dio, I mean, especially after he died, I'm surprised they didn't even look at him and say, okay, this guy.
I don't think he really had a spectacular solo career. Like, nobody remembers his solo career unless you're, like, you were a metalhead in the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
That's a shame, because if the bands before his solo career that he was in were,
Seriously, you had to be a metalhead in the 80s to know Dio's music, like Dio's solo music.
It's true.
It's an amazing thing. That
I think more 12-year-old kids know who Bob Marley is than who Dio is.
Well, that's Marley's an international thing. I can understand that.
Now, Marley's still an international global superstar. He can still go in the mall and buy his T-shirt. Mm-hmm. You know? And people wear his shirt that don't even know who he is. It's a cool image, like the Rolling Stones tongue or the Misfit skull.
Or the picture of Che Guevara.
Right.
Youngins
walking around with the iconography and...
I guess Rainbow's I guess that's a stupid question because if Deep Purple took 50,000 years to get in.
Yeah, Rainbow's there.
Rainbow ain't going in. Yeah, Rainbow's never going in. Man.
Sorry, Joe Lynn Turner, you ain't sniffing the hole.
And if Dio don't get in with Rainbow,
he's
I don't know. Should Dio get in? You know what? I think Dio, you know where Dio should get in?
Black Sabbath?
No. Exactly the way Nile Rodgers got in, an award of excellence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
They didn't get in on their, on like, as, because he's like, you know, Nile Rodgers is very spotty in the sense that, you know, he wasn't just a musician. We don't know him just for his body of work as a musician. We don't know him just for his body of work as a producer. You know, so people that are kind of like, how do we categorize this person? They get the special award of excellence, and you go in. You know, you get, so his, I mean, Dio,
his,
I mean,
philanthropy,
you know,
alone,
Sabbath,
yeah. But his philanthropy,
Rainbow,
too. I mean, his, that we're stars,
hearing aid,
right? That's,
you know,
all
he,
that,
I mean, yeah, he gave us the medal, We Are the World,
sure,
you know, and
that's,
I mean,
good.
You're making a good case for him.
So
man, get
Dio
in.
Should get in as far as that type of a recognition.
Okay,
you know,
I could live with
but
that.
But Dio is a musician, not just a producer, man.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. He should be there, but I'm just trying to think, like, realistically, how would he get in, you know? And I think that would be,
well, the fan, it seems like the fans are having more and more pull than ever. I think fans are responsible for getting Journey in. That's the impression,
well,
I,
yeah,
got from Prestige,
yeah, that's,
man.
And that's
enough
what it's going to be. It's going to be a younger generation of members plus the fans.
And I feel the same way about Kiss. I think there was enough pressure finally where, you know, everybody's like, how is Kiss not in here from the fan base?
All came from the grassroots, bro. You know it.
And again, like, you know, we said it before, they were thrilled. They're in the news. Kiss is arguing about whether they're going to play again. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is back on the you know, in the marquee. Let's go, you know. Oh, let's take a trip out to Cleveland, because you're not going out there for fucking anything else, I promise you.
You're not going out there for the Browns game?
Nah. Maybe an Indians game. The Cleveland Indians are looking pretty good. Or the Cavaliers, I guess. I don't know.
Anything but the Browns.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I can't talk about the Browns. I'm a recovering Browns fan.
Do our six listeners know that Mike DiRico is actually a closet Browns fan?
I'm not a closet Browns fan. I was a proud, loud, and annoying Browns fan all through the 80s, man. And I watched my team get pulled the fuck out of Cleveland,
in
man.
In the middle of the
and
night.
Given to the Baltimore. They became the Baltimore Ravens and went and won the fucking Super Bowl. Fuck you, man.
They left a couple of bucks on the counter so he could get a cab home, and they just booked.
Art Modell.
Gotta go to
All over a stadium, man. That, all over a stadium. And the Cleveland Indians.
The Raiders are going to Vegas, man. The Raiders are on their way to Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Yeah, but the Raiders have been all over the place already. Oakland, L.A., Oakland, L.A., Oakland, L.A.
The Chargers are leaving, too. You know, fuck
that. Like nobody wants the Raiders. They keep passing them back and forth. It's like, all right, get them the fuck out of California already. Just give them to Vegas. Neither of us want them anymore.
Obviously, Los Angeles can't support a team.
Is that how it is?
They insist on having a team in L.A.
Now they got two. They got the Rams and the
Chargers. And they never supported one. And
nope.
The fucking poor people of San Diego.
The Rams failed already out there.
How would you feel if, like, the Steelers kept getting passed back and forth between Pittsburgh and Philly? Pittsburgh
completely.
And Philly. Pittsburgh. Okay, now let's give them to Baltimore.
It's bullshit.
Or let's just give them to Indianapolis.
Hey, I'm a Jets fan. I had to play in a place called Giant Stadium for, like, my fucking whole first half of my life.
Yeah. Louisville, Kentucky doesn't have a team. Give them to them.
The Kentucky Raiders.
Yep. It's like the Montreal Expos.
You can see where your resentment of the NFL comes from, Mike.
It's a shame, the Montreal Expos. That team, man. 1994.
Now they're the Nationals.
Yeah, Expos used to be cool.
1994, that team.
Team Reigns.
Pedro Martinez. The 94 Expos were a team. They before that strike, they were on a collision course with the Yankees playing a World Series. Mm.
I think the 81 Expos.
Yeah, that's the 80s that I remember.
They went to the championship.
Andre Dawson, the Dodgers, man.
Dawson was great.
Yeah.
I remember Rick Monday hit the home run that won it for the Dodgers, man. Dodgers went on to play the Yankees. But that went down to 7 games. Expos Dodgers.
Dodgers beat the Yankees in that.
Yeah, they did.
81? That was the year of the strike. They had a strike, and so they had, like, the first half of the season and the second half of the season, and they had, like, their combined
record. Expos revolved around two strikes because they canceled the World Series.
That's right. I had already lost interest. I lost interest in baseball for about 5 years there. I came back around 95.
It was a good time to come back.
That was when Seattle beat the Yankees in the playoffs.
First wild card.
I think that was... That was before Joe Torre's first year. I think Buck Showalter was his 1 year as the manager.
Yep, that final game went back and forth. Pat Kelly hit a home run. Jack McDowell. Why Buck Showalter brought Jack McDowell to pitch that last inning, I'll never know.
And now we have Mike and the Mad Dog. We're no longer Rock on the
Spot.
No,
we are not.
How you doing out there, everybody?
I've got my bottle of Coke.
Hey, you got to give him a lot of credit, Mikey. Mikey, you got to give him a lot of credit. The guy can just hit a baseball. He can just hit the baseball.
Fucking Mike.
See how thrilled we are to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
We've lost this show, man. This show. He's like, hey, let's just talk sports, man.
I want to get it back on track.
Right. It's just, it disgusts me. I mean,
it don't disgust me. You know what?
It's cliche, but.
But, all right, so answer me this, boys. I'm getting back to the reason why we're here. So, I'm going to confess, I've never been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've never been to Cleveland.
I have not either.
What are they going to do? Build like an entire new, for each of these artists that are in now, they build an entire shrine to these artists. I guess every year, they every year, obviously, they have to add on to the thing. I guess the NFL, I guess the Baseball and Football Hall of Fames do the same thing. They got to add new busts every year, new guys they put in, you know.
I mean, at this point, man, just let everybody get in. Everybody's going to get in at some point. You know, it's already tarnished in more ways than everyone can even want to deal with. You know, everybody's got some beef with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So let's just, everybody gets in.
But you know what? Thank God it's there. It's fashionable
to hate
on.
You've been out 25 years, you get in.
There's paintings hanging in museums, sculptures, friggin' books. Let's have America's greatest gift to the world be there for future generations.
Sure, man.
So our grandkids can see.
I mean, most artists are going to get forgotten about anyway.
I mean, Rock and Roll Hall will be valuable in 60, 80 years in that way, you know?
Yeah.
As an educational thing. Yeah, sure.
There's going to be a handful of artists that are remembered, and the rest are going to be forgotten about. Let's try and preserve as much as we can, I guess.
Yeah.
So just if only to say that this stuff existed. It's historically significant to what happened here.
It is. It changed things.
I just don't think I just don't think their heads are screwed on right. That's all.
I know you don't. Neither do I. But I'm just trying to make something out of nothing here.
You know what? Fuck them.
So, but I don't know. Not a big fan of this year's class.
I'll tell you what. I'll share this personal thing. I was watching. I am no fan of Yes. I don't like Yes. They were always annoying.
Me too. And I tried.
It was like nails on a chalkboard.
I tried to listen to Fragile. I tried to listen to Close to the Edge.
Yeah,
we've been in situations
where we've had to listen to Closer to the Edge a couple times.
And it's not that they're proggy, because I like proggy. I just don't like
it.
Owner of a Lonely Heart is cool.
But
all right, go ahead, bro.
But I watched I watched Roundabout, the performance of Roundabout from the other night. And I was like, you know what, man? These guys deserve to be in there. As like Steve Howe, John Anderson, Geddy Lee was up there with them. I was like, you know, this was great music for somebody, man. I've heard it my whole life. I've never really cared for it. I never really listened to it. I've heard it. I've heard it enough of times to where, I know this. I recognize this.
The
man.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would be empty if it was bands based on bands that I dislike. Right. So you're okay.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
But you're doing all right. You know what? I was like, you know what, man? I watched this thing just like respectfully, but at the same time, just like digging it. I was actually enjoying it. I was like, you know what, man? These guys were fucking great. This is a fucking brilliant song. These guys are playing their fucking hearts out, and this is their fucking moment. This is their fucking 10 minutes, man. So, you know what? This is our time to acknowledge Yes, man. This is their year. This is our little box that we're going to put them in and say, you know what? 40 years ago, you guys created this. It took 30 years for you guys to get here. You know what,
bro?
Fucking... Yeah. Good deal, man.
Are you referring to the induction ceremony?
I'm referring to me watching Yes and all of the shit that was going through my
head. Back in the day, though. Or
no,
watching
it yesterday.
They tore shit up, huh?
So I'm sitting there in the 8 minutes of this performance of Roundabout. I'm totally like flashing on all of these thoughts. Like, you know what, man? It's almost like if all of these bands have to get in, so what? We don't like a lot of it. We don't think a lot of it should be there. But you know what? It's 25 years. They filled up arenas, man. Somebody made them famous. There's a reason that they're there. You know what? Let's let this be, because they're not going to be here soon. We're all going to fucking die, man. We're not going to be here. None of it's going to matter. So, you know, let it be like, if anything else, a funeral while these people are still alive, just to say, you know what? Fucking great, man. Good for you. You know what? And that's what I was flashing on when I was watching Roundabout. And I was like, and it hit me on a level of like, If we were like transported to some, you know, like that movie Fire in, you ever see Fire in the Sky when the guy's abducted by aliens?
Great
and
movie.
There's just like no recognition of, no sign of life, nothing that he recognizes to be real. Or if you were somehow, you know, it was some sort of like nuclear holocaust happened, you know, with the apocalypse, and like you were the only survivor, you know, and you're walking and you're just, you know, and somebody like in a conversation with Ram Dass and Terrence McKenna said, you know, you'd be walking alone, man, and you would walk 2 miles because you saw the light of a campfire, and you'd be ecstatic to know that another human being existed. Or if you heard some sort of music that you always fucking hated, man, but you heard it at that moment, you would be like, whoa, you know, you'd be so happy to hear that, man. Let the Hall of Fame stand as a shrine to civilization, man. Let it stand as a shrine to all the bullshit in the world. And all of the creativity that helped get us through, man. Yeah. Let's just say, you know what?
Yeah.
At this point, if we got to make something good out of something so fucked up and controversial.
Kumbaya, motherfuckers. Big, kumbaya.
Let it be, man.
There you go for our 6 listeners. This is the Say What You Will. This is the only podcast that will speak authoritatively on Bob Dylan and Kiss and everything in between. Show me another one that does that. People.
Exactly.
Show us another one.
That is the weird dynamic about this show. 7 decades of rock and roll. For anybody just joining us, I know nobody's gone the distance here, but you know what? I have to say it. We're a rock and roll podcast. 7 decades of rock and roll. As you haven't figured out by now, we will talk extensively on Bob Dylan and Russian existentialism.
And Joan Baez.
And Joan Baez and Judas Priest.
And football.
And 80s Kiss. And football.
Apparently, that's Slayer.
So, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yeah. No, don't.
Subscribe to our YouTube page.
Do not listen to
channel.
Fuck
like
off,
our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Shitter. Follow us on Instagram.
Follow us when you're on the shitter.
And watch us on Stitcher, whatever that is.
Read us while you're on the shitter. Peace out.
Bad news, but only if you're out of me. Bad news, but only if you want to be. You can lose, but I know how you love to win. Break my head down, beat me like a javelin. Whoa, you said we can't all be done. Bad news keeps pouring on me, bad news keep pouring on me, bad news.